broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Communication started approximately 2 years ago, up until recently when it started to...
I think the laws that we passed, they were good.
These are kids who are getting less sleep, who are less physically...
Success. I'm going to be dead.
Take your stinking paws off me, you dick.
Good day.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast with a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where, come what may, baby, we go where other talk shows wish they could go. Coming up this hour, the Pentagon cannot explain if a missile was launched off the coast of Southern California. Why would they explain when it was an extraterrestrial civilization that launched that missile? And can criticizing your boss on a Facebook page get you fired? Keith Olbermann returns to MSNBC and Joe Miller goes to court in his fight to win his Senate race in Alaska. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Keith Olbermann, and along with me, of course, is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard in our NewsHour here. Keith Olbermann is back from his suspension. He returned to Countdown, the TV show that he does there on MSNBC. It was a two-day suspension. And he came back with a bang on Tuesday, according to the Huffington Post. So understand that that's a very, very slanted, very, very biased website. They would be very slanted and very biased in favor of Keith Olbermann, even to the point where they'd say things like he came back with a bang. And we don't know what that means. Nonetheless, he did come back with a bang, and Ms. Huffington, smiling, said, "I'm kidding." Anyway, he came back with whatever it was, and he sidled into the view of the cameras in front of his empty seat, saying, "This is not a publicity stunt. Of course, if I'd known all this would happen, I would have done this years ago." In other words, Keith, you got a lot of people watching your show. Well, good, good, man. That's great, because that was something that you needed to have happen. Otherwise, the network might have gone ahead with the firing of Keith Olbermann and, you know, gone to Plan B, because apparently they ain't making any money with you anymore, man. Later at the end of the show, Olbermann talked for just about 6 minutes about his suspension, although it probably seemed like forever. He said he was stunned and grateful to viewers and that he didn't know that anybody gave one half of a holy crap about him. And when he found out that he had three people watching, let alone anybody, he was stunned, he was grateful, he dropped to his knees and wept like an old woman. And that he owed them three apologies. The first was for having subjected you to all of this unnecessary drama, although I don't really mean that, I enjoyed it. The second was his failure to know about the rule regarding political donations at NBC, although he said such a rule was not in his contract, and any rule like that in any company is probably not legal. Not in his contract. I guarantee you it was something that he signed. It probably wasn't in his contract, but it was some addendum that he signed, and he isn't being honest with you about that. Now, is he, Mr. and Mrs. America? Was he being honest with you, Adriana, or Ariana, or whatever her name is, Mrs. Huffington? When he was going to leave your house and come back and say, "Well, I just ended my suspension with a bang." Anyway, so the second was his failure to know about the rule regarding political donations at NBC. And the third apology was to the electoral opponent of one of the people he donated to, Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona, for including him in a worst person in the world segment the day after he made the donation. Ooh! And by the way, is that a he or a she? Would you, my staff, please, Robert, Bud, would you look that up?
What are you talking about?
Gabrielle Giffords. Last time I checked, that's a chick's name. But, so Keith Olbermann made a donation. It's a she. So the Huffington Post don't know the difference between a him or a she or a he or an it, man. And neither does Keith Olbermann, for that matter, Mr. Huffington. So here's the thing. Keith Olbermann made a donation to the opponent of Gabrielle Giffords, then went on the air and called Gabrielle Giffords the worst person in the world. See, as slimy as all of that appears, who cares? Everybody knows what he's about. Everyone understands him. He refers to her opponent. He refers to her opponent, Jesse Kelly. That makes no sense, man. You're going to have to rewrite that in a manner in which somebody on the radio, looking at that for the first time while reading a news story, while trying to keep a radio show going, understands what you're talking about. He refers to her opponent, Jesse Kelly, a male. What is that? Anyway, he apologized for including Gabrielle Giffords in the Worst Person in the World segment the day after he made the donation. Oberman said he had not known that the man, Jesse Kelly, was running against Giffords. He refers to her opponent, Jesse Kelly, a male. His third apology was to the electoral opponent of one of the people he donated to, Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona, for including him in a Worst Person in the World segment. So he was apologizing to the electoral opponent of this guy, Gabrielle Giffords, for including him. You know that you're in real trouble on a radio show, man, when you got to sit here and go through a freaking English lesson with your staff. After thanking various columnists, including conservatives like Bill Kristol and Jonah Goldberg and MSNBC figures, and after playing clips of Jay Leno and Jon Stewart discussing the suspension, Oberman returned to the topic of his donations, pointing out that at least transparency is alive and, well, whatever.
What's the matter?
The story completely has lost interest to me now because I don't know what I'm reading and I can't get any information. Joe Miller sues to force exact spelling rule for write-in votes, but on October the 31st, he said he would support the will of the electorate even if they misspelled Murkowski's name. This is a big story here, folks, I guess. GOP nominee Joe Miller is asking a federal judge to keep the state from using discretion in counting write-in ballots in Alaska's hotly contested Senate race. The suit was filed today, the day before election officials plan to begin counting write-in ballots. Miller's rival, Senator Lisa Murkowski, waged a write-in campaign after losing the primary to Miller. Write-ins lead Miller in initial vote totals, but it's not clear how many of those are for Murkowski. Okay, so Miller's campaign argues the state should be held to the law, which states that a ballot oval must be filled in and either the candidate's last name or name as it appears on a declaration of candidacy written in. The state has said it will use discretion when it comes to misspellings or variations of Murkowski's name, with officials pointing to case law as their basis for this. Meaning, if they spelled her name Smith, well, not that crazy. This is a new position for Joe Miller. In an interview with Fox News, Neil Cavuto, on October the 31st, Miller was asked specifically about this scenario. Cavuto asked, quote, if a number of Alaskans misspell Senator Murkowski's name in the write-in portion of the ballot, there are going to be available to everyone next week. Should those votes be honored and recognized? Miller said at the time, yes. He said, yes, they should be recognized. He said, yes, they should be counted. He said, yes. Let's listen. I think we actually have that, don't we? We have that audio. This is Joe Miller here. And in this particular piece of audio, this interview is with Neil Cavuto. It's October the 31st, and he asked Miller if the votes that misspell Lisa Murkowski's name should be honored or discarded.
Well, we know there's going to be a lot of misspellings because even Murkowski's ads have misspelled her name. I think there's been two that have gone out. So, you know, frankly, it's the will of the electorate. And, you know, Neil, we aren't going to interfere with that. We've always been an opponent to make sure that the people's voice is heard. This is a campaign about we the people, not special interests, and we the people are going to let their voice be heard on Tuesday, not just in Alaska, but nationwide.
So he's changed his mind. He said then that they could use discretion. Now he's saying, no, they should not use discretion because, obviously, this is a very, very close race. It's very hotly contested, and Joe could lose, huh? So what does that mean when a guy changes his mind? It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. It really doesn't. It doesn't drive me crazy. If a guy's got a good reason. See, people that change their minds, it happens. Every single person in the world changes their mind. But why are they changing their mind? If you can figure out why they're changing their mind and it makes sense.
Well, what would be a good reason on account of this guy?
Well, maybe he changed his mind because he thought, you know what, this is pretty close. I could lose the race. I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, but he said it was about the will of the people.
The will of the people, exactly. The will of the people. How do you know you don't have, like, dogs or cats signing those ballots?
What do you mean, dog or cat?
They can't seem to spell.
A lot of people can't spell.
Oh, well, that's true. Maybe dogs and cats spell better than people. It's not something that I think is a deal breaker. If the guy is, look, if he's a politician, he's got to lie somewhere along the line. Fact of the matter is, even if they didn't use discretion, or if they did, I should say, if they used discretion, he may still lose. He may still lose. All right, 877-876-PHIL here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. Can criticizing your boss on Facebook get you fired? Plus, which song is selling big at iTunes. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show, despite economic boycott, L.A. to buy Arizona tasers. And welcome back here on number 877-876-PHIL and our website, philhendryshow.com, to watch live streaming video of the show and listen to the live streaming audio. And if you're watching the live streaming video of the show, do not adjust your color. My face is that color of red.
Yeah, it's a color not occurring in a natural world.
Yeah. What's your problem?
I just don't like it.
Oh, he's still hung up on that.
You're worried about that. Who cares? You may want to make some money.
Look, Robert, if those guys want to be themselves on those shows, he's hung up about some show he's watching on ID where the actual cops play themselves. Is that it?
Yeah. I mean, that police officer not supposed to be play acting on a TV show.
Those shows, I don't like any of those shows that have those stupid-ass reenactments. I'd rather just, they go to the documentary footage, and that's that, man. What's the name of this thing?
I don't know, something called Dead Lady or something.
What do you mean Dead Lady, man? It's called, what do you call it? Cold Case.
Cold Case? You mean the one on CBS?
No, man, it's on Investigation Discovery.
Oh, I don't even know what that show is. All right. Despite economic boycott, well, you know, look at this is all about saving money on the budget, man. So if those cops that want to, you know, that were in that TV show, that's Kenneth Bianchi, man. This is like a real thing. That's the real guy there.
Yeah, I know, but they're using like fake guy. They're using like some like fake cops and everything.
Yeah, that sucks. Boy, that Bianchi was a good looking guy, wasn't he? Not. What an ugly mother he was. All right, anyway, the Los Angeles City Council voted unanimously today to continue acquiring tasers from a Scottsdale-based company despite an ongoing economic boycott of Arizona. Well, how about that? Now, the only thing surprising about this is that the L.A. Weekly called it the boycott toothless, like the Weekly just discovered something, like the real news flash here.
Yeah, they didn't know.
What do you mean they didn't? Everybody knows except the L.A. Weekly. Everybody in California knows that this jackass boycott of Arizona, completely misguided, utterly without any thought, no real thought. What do you mean boycott Arizona? What does that mean? The state decided to test the constitutionality of the prohibition, if you will, or traditional prohibition of states dealing with the border problem. By passing this law, that's a completely legitimate effort. There's nothing wrong with testing the constitutionality of, say, the federal right to supremacy when it comes to controlling the borders. Maybe they felt if they could do it better and they found a loophole or they found a friendly judge or whatever. What's the problem with that? Do you understand what's happening in Mexico right now, that there's a drug war going on? Do you understand that we have a problem with certain outlaw elements along our border? Do you understand that as many of us predicted, myself included, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's right, when we said that the political climate in Mexico is going to become so untenable, it's going to become so unbearable, that one of two things is going to happen. A repressive regime will take over in Mexico, a la Nicaragua or Cuba, which ain't going to happen because the U.S. government is going to let it happen. Or number two, that the present government will collapse in some way, shape, or form, causing Mexico to become what is known as a failed state. And then you don't like, the immigration problem right now. Jack, you ain't seen nothing yet. And I would just love to ask some of the people who have been on the side of more lax policy, shall we say, when it comes to immigration. Are you ready for refugees by the millions? Are you ready for that? Now, if you think I'm joking or kidding around or I'm in some kind of a fairyland, man, you better wake up and pay attention to what the hell's going on down there.
You talk about they'll come flooding over the border or something?
I'm saying, bud, that in any situation having to do with the collapse of a government, and the outbreak of a kind of civil war, there is a refugee problem. Now, if there's any kind of a civil war in Mexico, there's no question at all that the United States military is going in. And for you people that don't get it, just shut up. For you people that are, oh, there goes America with its military. That is an absolutely necessary move. The United States doesn't move military. If there is a civil war in Mexico and we don't move militarily, we are acting irresponsibly. And any jackass that says to me, well, there goes America pushing its military weight around, man. Why don't we just let the people of Mexico solve their problem? No, you don't let something like that happen on your borders. You do not. That you would be acting irresponsibly if you did. It would be a non-humanitarian thing to do, not to intercede militarily. Because if a civil war breaks out in Mexico, the refugee problem will be only the tip of the iceberg. And I'm almost, and this is going to sound horrible, I'm almost wishing one would, because then there would be a refugee problem. And then everybody that thinks that the immigration thing is overblown and that we got bigger problems and this and that and something else, wait till you see them pouring over the border by the bucket load, man.
Man, that'll be a lot of people.
A lot of people? You ain't seen nothing. And if you think I'm just sitting here singing a happy song, man, I mean, this is being contemplated right now by the United States government. It's being contemplated by our State Department. It's being contemplated, obviously, by Homeland Security and by the Department of Defense. In other words, it's being contemplated by our president, President Obama. He's aware of it. And as the president and as the commander-in-chief, he has to begin to implement plans dealing with that possibility.
But they got that war book thing. They do that?
I don't know if they got a war. Yeah, they must have a war book. There's a war book. Every country has a war book. And the United States, one of the things they criticized the United States for was after 9/11, our war book, so to speak, was so outdated. It was based upon a Cold War model. And basically what a war book is this. It's the military options that we have should war break out anywhere in the globe. If war broke out anywhere.
What about, like, the South Pole?
Yeah.
The South Pole.
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
We have a war book for the South Pole.
Who would invade there?
But if you're asking me about the South Pole, yes, we do.
What about, like,
think of a good one.
Mongolia.
Will you guys get out of here? Yes, Mongolia, all of it. And we have some kind of a military contingency for Central America, South America, and Mexico. Now, whether that's been updated or not up to this point, I don't know. But President Obama has ordered the Department of Defense and Homeland Security to get it updated, but quick. Now, what do you think that means? Number one, the border's got to be reinforced. It has to be protected at all costs. Number two, probably some kind of a demilitarized zone between the United States and Mexico. Number three, what is exactly the plan of action? What is the military operation going into Mexico to try to calm any civil unrest? Do we do it a la NATO, you know, just marching the troops down there? Do we do it battalion style the way we did in Iraq? How do we do it? What kind of cooperation do we need from local authorities? Who do we get in touch with? Who are the groups and elements that we would want to be in contact with as allies in a situation like that? I mean, we have to start thinking about this because now the good news is this. The reason why there is so much violence in Mexico is because the government in Mexico is fighting back. It is asserting itself. And that's why there is this uptick in violence. But the bad news is they're not making too much headway. If you'll pardon the expression, because I think they've been cutting guys' heads off.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding, like they did over in the Middle East?
Yeah, they were cutting guys' heads off.
Man, you're kidding, man.
I'm not kidding. They were cutting cats' heads off down there, man.
Like who?
Like cops. Like judges. Cutting their head. I mean, that's how brutal. And they're doing it, and they're sending a message. They're saying, we are the drug cartels, and you guys are going to have to deal with us. I mean, they're scumbags. And there's only one way of dealing with scumbags. You got to go down there and you got to blowtorch their asses out of whatever nest they have. And Mexico doesn't seem to be able to have the juice to do it. There's only one country around here that I know of that does. We do. And there's only one problem with all of that. We don't seem to have the political will to do diddly squat these days. We're sitting around with our thumbs parked up our rear ends, worrying about how people think about us. I mean, I'm telling you.
So what about these tasers, man?
What tasers?
The story you were going to do.
Oh, I forgot about the story. Anyway, the boycott of... I got off on a whole Mexico thing. Anyway, the boycott of Alaska? Of Arizona by the state of California sucks. Because get this, man. We've boycotted Arizona, but we like the tasers they make there. So we're buying those tasers for the L.A. Police Department, our airport police, our harbor police, our General Services Office of Public Safety, and a whole bunch of other coppers because we can't find tasers that good. So as far as the boycott of Arizona goes, yeah, it's on, except for the tasers.
Good.
The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back. A dad fights for his son's right to bring a racy backpack to school. What a douchebag. Let me hear the story. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Here's an interesting case. It has to do with people who are, you know, on Facebook. Sometimes they're on Facebook doing promotional work. Maybe they're on Facebook promoting a business. Maybe they're on Facebook, oh, I don't know, interacting with a certain community that they have a fiduciary or other kind of responsibility to. Or sometimes they're just on Facebook because they're sitting on their fat ass doing nothing, right? Can criticizing the boss on Facebook get you fired? Now, the National Labor Relations Board thinks this is open and shut. They're saying that a woman who got canned for criticizing her boss at a company, I think it's some kind of an ambulance company or American Medical Response, they say that she should not have been fired because the law is fairly straightforward. The National Labor Relations Act says that people can discuss workplace conditions. They can talk about their supervisor. They have a right to do that. Now, they say, the lawyer says, they have a right to do that at the water cooler or on Facebook. Now, I wonder what legal precedent or law is in place or what ruling, what court ruling is in place that says, oh, yeah, you can do that on Facebook, too. I didn't know that. I didn't know if I'm a member of a union. But I'm also somebody who's dealt with individuals who defame or slander or libel you. Now, some people don't understand this, but I would suggest you do the following thing. Just put yourself in the shoes of someone. Say you have children and you have a name, and someone goes out into the public and says that Joe Blow and his five kids are all a bunch of white trash scum, and they're screwing up this property that I live on, and they're smoking dope, and basically went public and called you the scum of the earth, right? Do you think you'd want to sue that guy? I think you might. Probably want to do worse. Now, when some fat slut, Dawn Marie Souza was fired after using vulgarities to ridicule her supervisor in a Facebook post, she also wrote, using the company's terminology for a psychiatric patient, "I love how the company allows a 17 to become a supervisor." She said she and the supervisor had clashed after the supervisor would not let a union representative help her to prepare a response to a customer's complaint about her work. Right? The company says it has a policy that bars employees from depicting the company on Facebook and other social media sites in which they post pictures of themselves. The NLRB argues that the rule is overly broad and that the firing of Souza violates the National Labor Relations Act, which, among other things, prohibits employers from punishing workers for discussing working conditions or unionization. I'm familiar with that. I'm also familiar with the slandering of people. The National Labor Relations Act does not allow you to take out a billboard on a freeway and say that my boss, Harry Brown, is a scumbag, molests children, is a psycho. You don't get to do that. Now, this lawyer is talking pretty confident because that's what lawyers are supposed to do. However, what they're basically saying is that an employee can go on Facebook and talk by name, about a supervisor, call the guy a psycho, get all upset about the fact that you got fired, and they put that under the heading of discussing working conditions. Well, guess what? No, it ain't. That's not discussing working conditions. That's simply defaming an individual because you're angry at them. That's talking crap about a person because you're pissed off at them. And there's no law in the world that allows you to do that. The employee in question was discharged based on multiple serious complaints about her behaviors, the company said in a statement. The employee was also held accountable for negative personal attacks against a coworker posted publicly on Facebook. The company believes that the offensive statements made against the coworker were not concerted activity protected under federal law. What they're basically saying is these statements had nothing whatsoever to do with collective bargaining, unionization, or improving working conditions. These statements were personal attacks, and therefore they felt did not fall under this National Labor Relations Act language. An administrative law judge is going to begin the hearing on January the 25th. Is this story a news story? Does this story warrant attention from the Phil Hendry Show, Yahoo News, The Upshot, and any other news service that might have carried it? Does it or doesn't it? Bud?
Well, yeah, I mean, you're talking about it and everything. It sounds pretty interesting and stuff like that.
Robert?
Well, the fact that you asked the question, I'd say no.
Well, the answer to the question is probably no, because it is not something that is unique. It's probably going on in varying degrees and in varying ways all over the country. The idea that people are attacking each other on Facebook or saying things about each other on Twitter, we've dealt with this when it came to schools. Kids are talking about their schools. Kids are talking about other students. Kids are talking about their teachers. Now we have people talking about this. And it has always been ruled almost consistently, with some exceptions, that the school has the right to control the speech of the child with regard to, for instance, a school and at school activities. And that the in this case, if it doesn't relate to labor relations, you don't have the right to take an anonymous person like your supervisor and slander or defame them or libel them on a Facebook post. So is this news? I say no, it isn't.
Yeah, but nobody's ever done it on Facebook, and how do you know?
Well, that the only reason why it might be news is because it involves Facebook. But there have been so many of these stories, you know.
Yeah, I still say it's good you do it. Because, who knows, I mean, are people going to say, I got Facebook, maybe I want to call a guy a douchebag, maybe I better not.
Yeah, well, whatever. This is the first case, here's the New York Times, the first case in which the labor board has stepped in to argue that workers' criticisms of their bosses or companies on a social networking site are generally a protected activity that employers would be violating the law by punishing workers for such statements. This is what the New York Times is saying. It's the first time the National Labor Relations Board has gone to bat for a worker posting something on Facebook. But they're going to lose, man. They're going to lose. Because if you say that that's protected under the National Labor Relations Act, then a billboard is protected under the National Labor Relations Act. A radio commercial is protected under the... And I could take out a TV spot.
Well, man, that's crazy.
Why is that crazy, man? I could buy a television commercial and say Joe Smith is a scumbag over there at the American Medical Response, and he sucks, and I hate him, and he's a psycho.
That's not talking about working condition.
Any more than it was talking about working conditions on Facebook, but the NLRB is arguing that yes, it is. And I'm telling you, unless this judge is a complete idiot, he's going to tell him to take it and park it. Are you crazy or something, man? That's what I'd tell him.
What would you say?
What would I say what?
If they came in and told you that.
Who? The NLRB?
Yeah.
I'd tell them to get out.
Yeah, but why, man? I mean, a girl had a right to say what she wants to say.
No, she doesn't, man. She doesn't have the right to go on a public social site and call a guy a psycho by name. No, she does not. And that has nothing to do with unionization, collective bargaining, or workplace conditions. My ass. That has to do with just a petty individual who's looking to take a personal shot at someone very, very publicly, and in the process humiliating that person, libeling that person. She ought to get her ass sued. As a matter of fact, if I was that guy, I'd sue the hell out of her. I love the civil courts in this country. Love it, man. Love it. Because where the criminal courts don't give you justice, you can turn around and sue the hell out of someone. And then pay your ass off for the rest of the time you're alive. You can't just go on any site and say these things. Now, this guy's a private guy.
Yeah, but people are always talking about you like you're a douchebag.
Well, they do, man.
Of course they do, but I'm a public personality.
What's the difference?
The difference is I'm a public personality. I have to take those shots. It's assumed that because I'm a public personality. I'm in the public discourse that people are going to talk about me. So if people say Phil Henry's a douchebag, I have to accept that because my name's out here every day. I willingly and publicly put my name into the public arena. All right. No one's taking it and forcing it out of me. So if someone says Phil's a douchebag or a psycho or any, if it's just a listener, you mean?
Yeah, like a guy on Facebook or something.
Yeah, they can do that. Now, let's say it was somebody that knew me, someone that worked with me, and they said that on this date and that date, Phil Henry did this, that, and this, and that. I could sue them.
Why?
Because they'd be lying.
Well, you know you didn't do it.
I'm assuming that I didn't do whatever it is they said I did. Okay, will you follow with me here? I could sue them, but the difference is this gentleman with this company is a private citizen. He's not a public personality. He's not someone whose name is broadcast daily. He's not an individual who's known to the public. He's known to his coworkers. He's known to his company. And this woman took his name and put it on this social networking site, not in a way just to say, hey, I know Joe, and he's a guy that I work with, or hey, I know Joe, he's a guy that I work with, he's a really nice guy, or any of these things. She put it on there and said he is a psychiatric patient, this guy needs help, and so on and so forth. So there's a couple of things going on here. And first of all, she's going to lose, man, unless that judge is brain dead, making some claim that that's a discussion of collective bargaining or somehow unionization. And number two, that guy would have a case to sue her for libel because of what she said about him. So we'll wait and see. Meanwhile, the Pentagon can't explain a missile off the coast of California. Now, here's a hot one. The Pentagon on Tuesday said it was trying to determine if a missile was launched Monday off the coast of Southern California and who might have launched it. Will you get out of here?
Are you kidding me? They don't know what I did it.
Oh, is he crying?
What's the matter, man?
They usually know who done it.
I'll quit babying, okay? Are you crying, man?
Well, why don't they know?
Well, let's just look at this. The Pentagon Tuesday said it was trying to determine if a missile was launched Monday off the coast of Southern California and who might have launched it. All right. Now, we know that we have Vandenberg Air Force Base out there. We also have Point Magoo Naval Air Station. We have the Port Hueneme Construction Battalion. We have the Ventura County Naval Harbor, Ventura County Naval Base, I should say. So there's a lot of, they're off the central coast here, and I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but I'm assuming they're discussing off the central coast here. There's a lot of crap going on. But spokespeople for the Navy, Air Force, Defense Department, and North American Aerospace Defense Command said they were looking into a video posted on CBS News website that appears to show a rocket or some other object shooting up into the sky and leaving a large contrail over the Pacific Ocean. The video was shot by CBS affiliate KCBS helicopter, helicopter, the station said on Tuesday. Nobody within the Department of Defense that we've reached out to has been able to explain what this contrail is, where it comes from. So far, we've come up empty with any explanation. Officials are talking to the Air Force, Navy, and NORAD, as well as the civilian authorities who control and monitor airspace. Right now, all indications are that there was not, that is, a Department of Defense involvement in this, adding that some object might have been launched by a private company or by a private individual.
What do you mean?
Some guy that made a rocket in his backyard or something. The FAA told CBS News that they ran radar replays of a large area west of Los Angeles based on media reports of the location of a possible missile launch, but they did not reveal any fast-moving unidentified targets in that area. Well, guess what? I guess you got the wrong information. The FAA told CBS News they ran radar replays of a large area west of L.A. based on media reports. Why don't you guys in the media give them the right stuff?
Well, how do you know, man? I mean, maybe they did.
Obviously, they didn't. Hey, CBS, if you got a helicopter and you shot a picture of something going up, why don't you tell the FAA where the hell it was?
I don't know. I was just flying around on it.
Well, you shot pictures of something, so there must have been something out there. So tell them where the hell it was. And as you know, information abhors a vacuum. So when there is a information vacuum, it must be filled up with something. So within the next 24 hours, men from outer space. Now, missile tests are common off of Southern California. Launches are conducted from vessels and platforms on an ocean range west of Point Magoo.
That named after Mr. Magoo.
Yeah, that's what it was named after, Bud, Mr. Magoo.
What an idiot, man.
The North American Air... What?
It wasn't.
No, it's not. Mr. Magoo?
Well, who's it named after?
S- some other cat named Magoo, man. Not Mr. Magoo.
How do you know?
How did Mr. Magoo spell his name?
No, man, don't waste your time.
No, 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 no. This is important. How did Mr. Magoo spell his name?
M-A-C-G-O-O.
Okay, how's this spelled?
Where?
Right there, man. How is that spelled?
That's spelled N-O-R-A-D.
NORAD. Not that one, this one.
Oh, M-U-G-U, Magoo.
Right, so is that Mr. Magoo?
It could be. It could be his sister.
How could that be his sister, man, when they both spell their last name the same way?
Man, forget about it. Not worth it.
Hold on. How could that be his sister?
Because she got married to another guy named Magoo. Only they spell it different in that family.
Okay, so that's great, bud. So Point Magoo is named after Mr. Magoo's sister. And she married a guy by the name of Magoo, and they spell it different. Is that the thing you want to say?
What are you getting all upset about?
No, I just want to know. Is that what you want to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
You gotta just let it go, man.
Don't keep telling me to let it go, okay? He's interrupting me. He said, was that named after Mr. Magoo? So we're going to find out if it was named after Mr. Magoo.
You want me to look it up?
No, you don't have to look it up because it wasn't named after Mr. Magoo.
Well, then why'd you say it could be about his sister?
Because I'm trying to see if you understand logic, which you don't. So forget it, man. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, issued a statement jointly with the U.S. Northern Command, or NORTHCOM, saying that we should evacuate all areas on the West Coast. It appears that a craft coming from a body somewhere thousands of miles beyond the sun was attacking the Earth. No, it said that the contrail was not the result of a foreign military launching a missile. It provided no further details, and it said that it's none of our business. NORTHCOM is the U.S. Defense Command, and NORAD is a U.S.-Canadian organization charged with protecting the U.S. from the threat of missiles of Hans and a hostile aircraft. Okay. I don't know, man. We'll figure it out, folks. Maybe it was from, I can tell you right now, though, I've seen a lot of stuff go off at Vandenberg, Jack, that was all purple and wow. Real different. A dad fights for his son's right to bring a racy backpack to school. Well, what father wouldn't? It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry.
And in conclusion, our website, philhendryshow.com, with thousands of hours of archived material, as well as our daily show, available as a podcast each and every day following the show. You can get on-demand video of the show. We do a video cast every night, and for 5 days we hold on to our video archives. And you also have our mini podcast, as well as the full podcast of the show and our classic Phil podcasts. And you also have, a whole bunch of archive stuff that's not only audio, but video. And we have our merchandise store opening up probably next week, and a lot of other goodies that are on the way on our website. So get a backstage pass and figure it out. Figure it out, man. All right, Pasco, fourth grader. Pasco, that would be Newport Richey, Florida. Let me give you the story Phil style. There's a stupid father by the name of Fred Ferrer. He's a real idiot. And he's got a son. And he sent the kid off to school with a backpack. And on the backpack was a woman who's scantily clad. And there's a snake, and it doesn't seem appropriate for a fourth grader. Fourth grader, you understand what that is. That's 9 years old. Now, this stupid father sent this kid off with this backpack, and the principal, as the principal should, said, this is a woman with no clothes on. Take the backpack home, and let's see something more appropriate. Well, because this is an ignoramus father and a product of his times, probably not very bright, nobody really pays much attention to him. He saw his opening. He saw his opportunity to get some love from the world. So what did Fred Ferrer do? Fred Ferrer is going to cause a problem. He's calling it the constitutional rights of free expression for his son. He was on a segment on the Today Show with Kathy Lee Gifford. He was just all this in a bag of pork rinds. So he says that the district policy governing student attire is unclear. In nowhere does this man evidence any real concern for his son or the other children. This psychopath and narcissist is only about him. He's only about himself and the love that the world can give him because he didn't get any, because he's kind of a dull slob. and the fact that maybe he can parlay this into a date with Kathy Lee Gifford, and the fact that people will know him, pay attention to him. But does he care about his kid? Of course he doesn't. So that's the story of Fred Farrar in Newport Richey, where all the principal said, and well, he should have, go home, your backpack is inappropriate, get something else. And this has turned into a big fight that Kathy Lee Gifford stuck on the Today Show. Since when is she on the Today Show?
I don't know, man. She's been on for a while. She's on like that 1 hour.
Yeah, they got another hour they do, and she's on it.
What the hell? Why don't they let the dead rest? I'm kidding, okay?
Man, that's pretty hardcore coming from you.
All right, I'm kidding. God. So that's it. You don't need to know any more about that story. That's some kid who was told to go home, your backpack's inappropriate, and the stupid ass that he's got for a father now is going to cause a big problem, and the rest of us have got to have to pay for it somehow. We got to pay attention to it. We got to go and stroke his fevered brow. We got to make him feel better. We got to explain life to this dumbass. And when he realizes he's wrong, then we have to make him feel like, oh, it's okay, everybody's wrong sometime, and not make him feel too stupid. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Rantz, technical director Charles Wygan, and our associate producer and screener Dan Northcraft. Our website, philhendryshow.com. What a dumbass.
Phil Hendry.